Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today, our service embraces our prayer for Ukraine and the invasion by Russia, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from Judges chapter 6, from verse 1, and Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. The talk this morning is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, and continues our series, Fit for Purpose, How to Celebrate Your Limitedness.
The first reading is taken from Judges, chapter 6, starting at verse 1. The Midianite Oppression. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel, and because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep, no ox, or no donkey. They and their livestock would come up and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted, so they wasted the land as they came in. Thus Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites and said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and I brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the God of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not given heed to my voice. Now an angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior.
The second reading is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11, concerning spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Hi, good morning everyone. My name's Dave, I'm the curate here at St. James's Church, and it's a privilege and a terrifying thought to speak to you this morning. I don't know how this week has been for you. I really didn't think Russia were going to invade Ukraine. And most of the political people I listened to didn't think so either. It was a show of force, like a political game. And then suddenly the forces came in. And I was just shocked. There's so many emotions of disbelief, anger, maybe even guilt. This is a European country we're seeing under attack here. And I've never seen anything like this. And here we are at St. James's Church this morning. We're being asked to pray and to hold the people of Ukraine up to our God of peace, the God that we know and trust. So during the week, there were a few images I want to share with you. You may have come across them that just were in contrast to me. There's this weird symmetry that happened with Putin's speech on Monday and then the Ukraine speech that followed after. Now, Putin came forth and it was a bit of a revisionist lecture. He said that, you know, Ukraine and Russia, it's an artificial distinction. We are one people. We created the country so we could dismember it. It's a figment of your imagination and you're all ruled by neo-Nazis anyway. And it was just like, what? Where is this coming from? And when I looked at him doing that speech, he just looked so angry and aggrieved and dark. And I was like, oh, you know, it's like fake news or telling the story differently. Is there something I don't know here? And then the Ukraine president, he stood up and in fluent Russian, and I've seen that a few of you have shared this video on Facebook, and he said, "We are brothers and sisters." And he appealed to the Russian people. "We have a shared history," he said. "We share 2,000 kilometers of a border." And he went on to talk about the history of the nations. And he did so in such a way that it just spoke of love. This shared history, we are one people, he said. And the way he said one people was in such a contrast to how Putin almost used it as a tool for the oppression of Ukraine. And it was just the weird symmetry was just mind-boggling for me. And then the terrible image on Friday of a Russian tank rolling over a civilian's car on the news. And the car was coming one way, tank the other, and suddenly the tank just goes over it. And I'm just in disbelief, what's going on here? And luckily, it was just an elderly person was prized from it. And they were fine. I guess just an unbelievable image. Another one of a Ukrainian just kneeling down in front of a tank. These are images I didn't think I'd see this week. And then the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, coming out and saying that they condemn the Russian attack in Ukraine as an act of great evil. And I agree from what I've seen. And I was asking God, what am I going to say on this last night? You know, what is it you want to say? And I just felt such a feeling of sadness. Just a real feeling of sadness. So today we're talking about limitedness. Like, how are we limited in our walk with God? Or how are we limited in how we live life? And I went to Rick Warren's book. This whole series is based on his purpose-driven life. And he shared a list of people in the Bible that are limited in various ways, have weaknesses. But one name stood out in particular, and that was Gideon and his story. And so I wanted to bring that here this morning. So I came to Martin this morning and said, can you read Judges 6 instead of the other one you're going to? He's like, oh, okay. And it's an almost comical passage. And you could easily miss it, but it's really good. So Gideon is a guy like most of us. He's a little down on himself. He's under oppression. He's having to live up in the mountains, in caves. And things are so bad, he tries to beat wheat inside a wine press. Now, beating wheat, you want to go to a big open air space, preferably on top of a hill with a bit of a draft. So you could throw the wheat up in the air and the chaff gets separated and the wheat comes down. He had lots of air, space. Wine presses are small, contained things that you just, you know, tread the wine and the juice runs out and there's no wind or anything. And he's hiding inside a wine press trying to separate the wheat and the chaff. It's just like Israel readers would have laughed at this point. What is this guy doing? Doesn't make any sense. It's a picture of how far the Israelites have come and how humiliated and oppressed they are, that he is crushing wheat in a wine press. And then there's these people that are there, the Midianites, and they're like locusts on the ground. They arrive, they consume everything, and they're gone. And the Israelites don't really know why this is happening. And they don't even repent. They don't say like, oh God, we're sorry. Yet they cry out to God and God puts in an action plan to save them. Now, while you hear this story, don't think I'm saying the Midianites are the Russians and Gideon and the Israelites are the Ukrainians. I'm not saying that. I'm not putting that political issue onto this. This is a separate thing in history. But what I get from it is Gideon, he's hiding. He is confused. He's trying his best in a hard situation. And then God appears to him. Well, an angel appears to him, God's aid. And it's like the interaction with Moses in the burning bush. Gideon's not that enthusiastic about it. It goes on, Gideon says, I'm the weakest in my clan. Like, and I'm the least in my family. Why are you appearing to me? What is it about me? Why? And then God says, God labels him a mighty warrior. And this must just be, must blow his mind. I'm not a mighty warrior. And it's not because he has some hidden talent that God wants to expose to the world. It's not some kind of like, you know, he's got this amazing ability that just needs prized and empowered and encouraged from him. It's not that. It's because God intends to use him as a mighty warrior. And he can't see it yet. And so often, we'll put limitations on ourselves. We'll think, I'm not good enough to do a certain thing. I'm not old enough or young enough, fit enough, round enough, like you, different enough. We all put limitations on ourselves. And we think, I can't be that person. But if God asks you to do something, he sees that. He sees what you're capable of. I used to think that when to share about the good news of Jesus. So to go out and tell someone about Jesus, first, I better get some experience in church, get to know people in church. I better get a theological degree as well. Might need a collar as well, actually. And then I'll become an expert in sharing about all about the good news, all about Jesus. Do you know what? It hasn't helped. It's quite a few years of training. You get bombarded with church history stuff. It's just mind-boggling. And when do I tell someone about predestination? Or what does the cross actually mean? There's various theories put on that. And there's so much I want to unpack. And yet, you know what? The person that God wants to reach out to and use you to do so doesn't want to know about all that stuff. They just want to know your story, your testimony, who you are and why you have this hope. And you don't need a theological degree. You don't need to be a reader or a special person to do that. You just need to be you and who God has made you to be. And I think a lot of the time we put qualifications on people, or we think, oh, they've got this certain gift. Are they able to do that? But God can use any of us at any moment, and all we have to do is ask him. And let's not get in his way. So eventually Gideon throws a few tests at God. He says, you know, if you make this fleece dry or whatever, yeah. And God doesn't run away. He doesn't go, oh, don't be silly. He says, okay. And he goes through these signs with him. And then he has to burn something, sacrifice up. And eventually Gideon realizes, this is actually God talking to me. And he builds an altar. And then he knocks down Baal's altar. And then he starts changing things. And people are like, who is this doing this to our nation? And it's Gideon. And then eventually, do you remember the story about the army? So he has 32,000 people in his army. He's ahead of this army. And God says, few too many people. But Gideon's like, but there's 135,000 troops waiting for us. I need all these people. But God's like, no, a few less, and then a few less again. And whoever drinks a certain way out of this lake, a few less again. And eventually they're left with 300. That the odds are 450-1. I don't think that's going to work well. But it did. Because again, it was God's power and not his. Now, as the UK, I feel like, well, I know the geopolitical situation has changed. We used to be a world superpower. We are not anymore. The political landscape has completely changed. We have China, India, America, Russia. There's other countries at play now, and sometimes we think, oh, we can solve it through our military might or through some other way, but actually, we are in a far more humble place than we were, and we have to rely on God's power now, which is why we come together to pray today, because we have to rely on God's power and not our own talent, our own superpower, our own conviction in our might. There's a great missionary called Hudson Taylor, and he said that all God's giants were weak people. All God's giants were weak people. God changed Moses' temper into the humblest man. Gideon's low self-esteem was transformed to a mighty man of valor. Abraham's fear, and he twice said that his wife was his sister in case he got into trouble, was changed into the father of everyone who had faith. We had the weak and impulsive Peter, who was transformed into a rock. You are the rock upon which I will build my church. We have the adulterer David. He became a man after God's own heart. John was an arrogant son of thunder. I love John, actually. He was changed into an apostle of love. The list could go on. We have Samson, David, Samuel, all the prophets. I wonder where you are on that list, too. All God's giants were weak people. And I have felt weak this week, not knowing what to do. Our weakness is a thorn, like Paul called it. It's not a sin or a vice. It's something that is limiting you, something that you cannot change. It could be a physical limitation, like a handicap, low energy, disability, or an emotional limitation, like a trauma, a hurtful memory, a personality quirk. Or it could be a talent limitation or an intellectual limitation. We're not all super talented, and we're not all super bright. And when we stop pretending that we are, that we stop competing with each other and pretending that we need to be all things to everyone, then we can allow God to use us. Because God is never limited to our limitations. He enjoys putting great power into ordinary containers. We are like jars of clay in which treasure is stored. Now, pottery is fragile. I don't know, have you tried pottery? It's really difficult. It's really tricky. So I'm glad there's a potter out there making us, because I had to cheat. You know, in primary school, you make little worms, like rings, and you build them up slowly, and now you have a bowl, instead of actually trying to turn the thing. Anyway, pottery's tricky. But we are all made in God's image, and we are beautiful. So we are called to be content with our weaknesses, to not think less of ourselves, because they cause us to depend on God. We need to admit our weaknesses and be honest with ourselves. Because when weak strands all come together, they can make a strong cord. Vince Havner says that when Christians, like snowflakes, are frail. So yeah, we're frail like snowflakes individually. But when we stick together, we can stop traffic. And you think, maybe my prayers for Ukraine, that's just me. What difference does it make? But if we all pray together, we can stop tanks. I believe that. And so this morning we have come together and we read 1 Corinthians 12. And it's like the picture of the gifts. The analogy it's likened to is like an orchestra. You have the same composer, the same piece of music, but we might all play in different styles. Someone might be really loud on some drums or some cymbals. And other people might be on a violin or a trumpet. If you have a certain piece of music and certain instruments aren't there, you're going to really miss them. And we all have different gifts, and we all have different limitations. And yet we're all here this morning for a purpose. We're all here to meet God and to ask him for help. Last night when me and my wife were praying again about this morning, we came across this song that really just grabbed us. And I want to read it to you as a poem today as I finish. And then I think we're going to have a few minutes of silence where we're just going to pray for Ukraine together. The song is Pray for a Miracle by Joe Boyce. I prayed for peace. I prayed a million times over. I prayed for the release of the many people who suffer. I prayed for love between sister and brother. I prayed for a miracle. I prayed for hope. I prayed we'd all keep on trying. I prayed for time to save our world from dying. And I prayed for peace. I prayed a million times over. I prayed for a miracle. Lord, in your mercy, will you listen to my prayer? Lord, in your mercy, lend this sinful child an ear. Where two or three are gathered, you said that you'd be there. So we pray for a miracle. I prayed for the day we'd all have justice and freedom, and I prayed that one day people in power would rule with wisdom. I prayed for the child with no one to protect them. I prayed for a miracle. Let's pray for a miracle now. Lord, in your mercy, will you listen to my prayer? Lord, in your mercy, lend this sinful child an ear. Where two or three are gathered, you said you'd be there. So we pray for a miracle. Thank you, God, that you are the God of peace. Lord, where we are weak, would you be strong? Where the Ukraine army is weak against the Russian army, Lord, would you be strong? Father, thank you for our limitations. I thank you that we are just human. As Paul pointed out, we are just human. We are not angels or gods, and we shouldn't pretend to be. You came to save this world, and you died for us. So God, we ask for your help again. Come and be with the people of Ukraine. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.